All right. Well, we've been going through a sermon series called As Christ Loved Us. And today is the last day that we're going through this series. And we've been going through the book of 1 John. And as mentioned before, there are two main things that John wants to talk about in this letter in 1 John. Number one is that he really wants to emphasize that we need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing that he really wants to emphasize is that we need to love one another. Now, John's way of speaking, as we'll see in today's passage also, is it could be very extreme. He can use very extreme language. And at the same time, he can use kind of a way of speaking that's not really linear, or it doesn't seem logical. Of course, it is logical, but then it's just a different way of speaking. And so there's going to be a lot of repetition that you'll find in our passage. And so let's look to our passage today. We're looking at 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. And again, if you have Bibles, I encourage you guys to open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Of course, we do have it on the screen, but I do encourage you, if you do have Bibles, to open up to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 7. Trusting that all of you guys are there, this is the reading of God's word. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is so, as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. When was the last time that you really felt God's love? Think about that for a moment. When was the last time? Think about maybe it was a particular moment in recent days. Maybe it was a period of time in your life. But try to think back on that time. When was the time, or when was the last time you really felt God's love? I want us to just take one short minute to turn to a neighbor and to share that moment with them. I know that some of our stories can be very long, but try your best. Give 30 seconds to each person. Just turn to a neighbor right now and share with each other what that experience was like. about 30 more seconds. All right. Now, I know that some people, maybe you've shared a lot, and maybe some people didn't get a chance to share. That's okay. Maybe for some of us, we had a difficult time answering this question because we're thinking, did I ever feel God's love? Some of us might be thinking that. And I think that each of us, we might experience God's love a little bit differently. But maybe for a lot of us, when we thought about this question, the answer that came to our minds, maybe for a lot of us, is a personal experience that we had with God. Now, what's interesting is that in today's passage, what we find is that we're not talking about experiencing God's love on a personal level, but the fact that we can actually experience God's love together. And not only that, we're able to experience, as we experience God's love together, the people in this world are also able to experience God's love. Now, this part of the idea is not found in today's passage, but actually what you'll find in 1 John and in the Gospel of John is that these two ideas are actually tied together. We can experience God's love together. And when we experience God's love together, the world will also begin to experience God's love. All right, so one of the things that the passage today talks about is that even though we cannot see God, that we can experience His love together and be convinced of His existence. And the way that we experience this love together is by loving one another. And so today's title is Perfect Love. And we're going to be talking about this idea, about what is perfect love. And actually, the way that I want to form our 3 points today and our main idea today is by using this phrase, perfect love in Jesus. Okay? Perfect love in Jesus. And some of you guys might be saying, why is he saying the word perfect kind of strangely? I'm doing it on purpose, okay? Perfect love in Jesus. And we'll be talking about this, all right? So I normally talk about 3 points, and basically today's 3 points are perfect love in Jesus, all right? So perfect love in Jesus. Let's talk about the first point. Now, as I said before, in today's passage, what we'll find is that it seems like John is saying the same ideas over and over again. He's repeating ideas. And so what I want to do is I want to grab some of those ideas and point to them in our passage today, but they're going to be found in different verses. And so that's why I think it'll be good if you have your Bibles open in front of you. All right. So in verses 7, 11, 12, and 21, What we'll find together is this command to love one another. Let me just read those verses for you. Beloved, this is verse 7. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 11 says this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And verse 21 says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so the main idea that we've been talking about for this past month is that we need to be loving one another. And I want to make it clear. I want to make it extremely clear that when we talk about loving one another here in 1 John, what we're not talking about is loving your neighbor. Loving anyone else in this world, loving your enemies in this world. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is loving brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. What we're talking about is loving the people that are in this church. And when you look at 1 John, and you look at the context, and it says love one another, you'll quickly discover that it's talking about love other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so again, the command is to love one another. But this first point that we're talking about is this word perfect. Perfect. Now, this word comes up multiple times in today's passage, so let me just point to them for you. In verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Verse 17 and verse 18 says this, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." As I read these verses, you guys may have noticed that there are two different ways of using this word perfect. There's perfect and perfect. And the difference is that one is an adjective and one is a verb. And what you'll find is that in the many times that this word perfect is used, only once is it used as an adjective. And the other times it's used as a verb. And so there's this idea of it's possible to perfect love. Now, you might be thinking, how do we do that? How's that even possible? How do we perfect love? Well, the idea that comes up over and over in this passage, let me just point to it. In verse 12, it says, "If we love one another, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." The key to perfecting love in our midst, the key to making God known in our midst, is by loving one another. Now, as some of you guys think about this idea, you might be thinking, this idea is great, but like, are we really able to perfect love? And are we really able to represent God in this way? Like, how can we even use this word perfect? Now, this word perfect in the original language has to do with completing, seeing it to the full. And so when it's talking about perfecting love, the idea is showing to the full, to the max, or showing completely what God's love is really all about. And so I want to read a couple other verses. In verse 17 again, it says, "By this is love perfected with us." By this, what is this? How is love perfected with us? Well, the answer is actually in verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us." What is that pointing to? Yes, love is perfected with us when God abides in us and we abide in him. But there's also this phrase where it says, "And if we, whoever abides in love." What is this talking about? Abiding in love is basically the idea of loving one another. Loving one another. And so by this is love perfected with us when we love one another. Now, again, if we're able to love one another, a passage from John chapter 13 tells us that, this is Jesus speaking in John chapter 13. Jesus tells his disciples, "By this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so again, that idea of if we're able to love one another here, if we're really able to love one another here, then we can experience God's love together. If we're able to love one another here, then God's love abides in us. God abides in us, and we abide in him. By the way, the word abiding just means like remaining or to have a relationship with. That's a simple way of talking about it. And so if we love one another, if we have a relationship with one another, if we're seeking to have a relationship with each other, again, with the people with our church, then through that is our relationship with God expressed. Our relationship with God is expressed through our relationship with one another. All right. And when we do that, it also means that the other people in this world who are not believers are able to begin to experience God's love. Now, I just want to make sure that I'm being clear here. Our relationship with God definitely can be cultivated through our personal times with him, through our relationship with him in our quiet times, in our Bible reading, in our prayer times with him. Of course, that's there. But the way that we really experience God's love in our midst here is by loving one another. And when we do have that relationship with God, that love is able to be expressed. It's able to be shared through our love with one another. Now, again, some of us might say, okay, you're talking about perfecting love in our midst. You're talking about loving one another in this way. But let's be real. We're not God. We're just humans. We can't do things perfectly. And so I know a lot of us might be saying this kind of stuff, especially because there are situations that we face with other brothers and sisters in Christ that might be difficult. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit recently, in recent weeks. And the thing that I've been thinking about is, you know, our church, as we gather together every week online, but even before we met online, we were gathering here in this building for a couple of weeks. Before that, we were in our other building. And I was just thinking how fragile the church can be. Because when we come to church, maybe a lot of people have this idea that church is supposed to be a place where we're supposed to experience God's love. So then how can a person do this thing against me? How can a person sin against me? Man, these Christians are hypocrites. And that's what we might hear from unbelievers, but then that's what we might feel ourselves, even as Christians. We might feel, how can that brother or sister in Christ do that to me? How can they gossip about me? How can they say bad things about me? Or how can they point their finger at me and say that I'm wrong? I may be wrong, but how come they said it in that way? And so there are these situations that we might face in the church where we might feel, I don't experience God's love here. And from that one sin, from that one mistake, it affects our church. And people begin to divide. From that one misunderstanding, people end up leaving the church. And sometimes it's not just one. You know, of course, sometimes it happens over and over again because we're sinners. We keep sinning against each other. And the church is so fragile. And I especially got this idea, I was thinking through this, just a pandemic will cause us to divide and as we think about in-person services again, maybe it causes us to divide. We have different opinions about it. And I got this idea, I was thinking about this because there's an article that was sent to me recently. And the article is from the Gospel Coalition. Some of you guys know about TGC. And if you guys go to TGC, you can search for this article that says, Church, don't let coronavirus divide you. And it's a great article. If you guys have time, go ahead and look it up because it's a great article where it talks about how churches all around the world are thinking about the possibility of going back to in-person services. But then there's a a real strong opportunity for Satan and the demons to use that to divide the church. I mean, even in our church, we have people that are already on the side of, let's just meet. Taiwan is safe. Let's just meet. And we have other people that are like, no, it's still dangerous. And perhaps that might cause some of us to have differing opinions about what we should do about church. Now, I bring this up because this is a real thing that we might be facing in our church. This is a real situation that we might face. And we're talking about perfecting love here. And we're thinking, how are we going to do this? Now, not only this, but I mean, there might be different situations that come up that we've constantly dealt with. And it's not just about the coronavirus, but in our church, we might have situations where people are bitter with each other. And with some of these words, I just want to let you know, with some of these words, I know that there are cases. With some of these words, I don't know if there are cases. And so I'm not going to reveal which ones I know or don't know, but these are words that I've thought about, not thinking about our church, actually. These are words that I've thought about as I thought about my experience in other churches in the past from 15, 20 years ago. All right. Some people may be feeling bitterness. Some people may feel suspicion against other people about what they might think about them. There might be unforgiveness. There might be jealousy. There might be judgment. There are all these things that people might be struggling with, even in our church, that would cause our church to tear apart. And even though we might not see people leaving the church, but we might be sitting next to each other in these pews, starting next week, by the way, we might be sitting next to each other in these pews and still be a divided church and still not experience God's love here because we're not taking steps to love one another. The church is really fragile. It really is fragile. The good thing is that the Bible tells us here that because of Jesus, we can perfect love. We can choose to love one another. We can do this. And by the strength that God gives to us, and through the love that we've experienced, we can choose to love one another here. And by this is love perfected. Now, I want to talk about this word love. Perfect love. In verse 11, it says this. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And so there's this connection. If God loves us, then we ought to love one another. Now, again, I talk about the original language because it's important to look at what the actual meaning is. And the idea here is we ought to love, we owe it to God to love one another. We owe it to God for what He's done for us to love one another. And so when we think about loving one another, it shouldn't just be about, am I able to love this person or not? What we should be thinking about is, think about the gospel and how God has loved us. And because God has loved us, because of that, we owe it to God, yes, to love Him, but the way we love Him is by loving one another. Now, here's the difficult thing. Verse 7 and 8 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Let me just say it simply like this. If a person loves one another, If a person loves another person, another believer in Jesus Christ, it shows that that person has a relationship with God. But if a person does not love another brother or sister in Jesus Christ, and you can't say, I love this person, but I don't really love this person. At least I'm loving this person, right? You can't say that. If there is a person that you're not able to love, that it's difficult to love and you're just having a hard time, and you're not doing anything to overcome that, and you just leave it as, I just don't want to have anything to do with that person, then what the Bible says here is, if a person does not love, it shows that that person does not have a relationship with God. Again, verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, some of us might be struggling here because we're thinking, wow, that's pretty extreme. I mean, can't I still be a Christian? I believe in Jesus Christ, right? Can't I still be a Christian, even though I'm having this hard time with this person? Well, let me explain a little bit, and I don't need to go into a lot of detail because this was talked about last week. But love, when we think about love, we have a difficult time with this idea of love because maybe we have a misunderstanding of love. The first misunderstanding that a lot of people have is that sometimes we think that love has to be all about emotions. Like, I really, really care about this person. I can never say that about that person. If I'm supposed to love someone, I'm supposed to have put all my heart into it. I'm supposed to really love this person, but I can't do that with that person. That's the first mistake. Love, first and foremost, is a choice that you make. It's a decision that you make to love that person. And so when you look at a passage like 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, always perseveres. All of these words are not about just love is about just emotions, just really caring about that person. It's not about that. All of these words have to do with you making a choice despite how you feel, and maybe along with how you feel, but a lot of times despite how you feel, you make a choice, a decision to love that person. Another misunderstanding that some people might have is that love is something that I can only do if I really know that person. If I become good friends with that person, then that's when I can really love that person. And that's also a misunderstanding, because you can still choose to love someone that you don't know. How do you do that? By trying to get to know them. That's how you demonstrate love. By praying for that person, by asking them how they're doing and asking about their prayer requests and making decisions to reach out to them, to continue to want to build a relationship with them. That's how we're able to love people, even if we don't know people. And so some people, they make the mistake of coming to church and saying, I'm coming to church to find people that I can be friends with. And what that means sometimes is I'm going to find people that I can relate with. And all those other people that I can't relate with, I don't know if I'm going to have anything to do with those people, but I want to find people that I can relate with and become friends with, and that we could share God's love with each other. But we don't have to think that way. We can share love to other people that we're not able to relate with. And that's a choice that we can make. Rather than making becoming friends a goal, perhaps what we can make our goal is pointing people to Jesus Christ. No matter who I meet, whether it's a person that I can relate to or not, no matter who I talk with, my goal is to point that person to Jesus Christ. No matter if that person is an unbeliever or a believer, no matter if that person has hurt me or has been really kind to me, my goal is to point that person to Jesus Christ. What happens if you make it that, if you make that your goal? What happens is that there's a lot of intentionality. There's initiative that you will take. This is what we're talking about when we talk about love. Loving one another will show with intentionality, will show with initiative. Maybe it'll show in humility that I choose to admit that I'm wrong when I've hurt someone else. And in that way, I'll be loving them. It's a concern for someone's well-being. It's a willingness to go beyond what you would normally give to point that person to Jesus Christ. Now, what's difficult is that it doesn't just end with love one another. But just like we were talking about, if we look down in verse 20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know, when we talk about love, it could sound like a simple idea. Yeah, we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to. But it's really easy to love when you like someone or when you relate to someone. And I want us to think about people in our church. I know this is sensitive. I know that I said a lot of sensitive things already, but I want to keep it real because we're talking about how do we love one another in our church here. Yeah, I don't want to kind of work around and try to soften things up a little bit, especially because this topic is so important for us. How do we love one another here? Well, loving one another really gets tested not when we get along with people, but when there's conflict with other people. That's when we really have an opportunity to show God's love to one another. It's usually when there's some kind of conflict that arises, like when a pandemic occurs and we're not able to meet with each other. And it's not necessarily that we have something against other people, but it's very easy for us to forget about each other. It's very easy for us to forget about the community that we have, and our minds automatically can go back to, it's just all about me and God, and that's it. And we forget about the church. We forget about the idea that loving God should lead us to loving one another. And that when we do love one another, it's evidence that we do have a relationship with God. It's easy for us to forget that. When conflicts arise, it's an opportunity for us to show love. When there are disagreements, when there are misunderstandings, when people disagree about a strategy or about the budget. And for some of us, we think about this idea of loving one another, and it's like, I hear you, but it's so hard. I mean, I've been trying to love this person, and that's great that you're trying to love that person. But some of us might be saying, I'm trying, but that person, man, I have a limit. I'm not God. I'm just a human. I have a limit. And the reason why we have a limit, perhaps, is because we're trying to love with our own strength. We try to love with our own efforts. Because if we were to think about how when we're connecting with the Lord and God's love is being poured out upon us, there's no reason for us to want other people's love, or when we love other people, there's no expectation of something coming back. when we love other people and we're out of love ourselves because we're just going through all kinds of difficult circumstances, we're not running out of fume because we constantly are connected with the Lord and we feel God's love coming to us and we experience His love. And because of the gospel, because of what Jesus is doing in our lives, it's just overflowing to other people. And it causes us to want to be intentional. It causes us to want to go beyond our limits. But I know it's still hard. And I know that personally. Because I just want to share with you guys a story from over 20 years ago when I was in college. There's a campus ministry leader. And I was a student. He was a leader. And we're supposed to be brothers in Christ. And I had a rough time with his leadership. And I was just really disagreeing. I remember we were in a meeting together and I was like, I really don't like what he's saying. And I didn't go about it in a very Christian way. I had this like stern look on my face the whole time. And he could tell, I could see him just kind of like sweating and he's trying to say, come on guys, let's come together and let's be on the same page. But I was like, I can't believe this guy. And then he left. And then there was another campus ministry leader that heard about that incident. And he called me on the phone. And this was before I had a cell phone. This was before texting happened. There was such a thing as texting. And he called me and he was like, Peter, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe that you acted in this way to this other leader. Do you know what you did? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you're causing division? And he's talking to me and he's saying, Peter, do you have a history of this kind of act? And he's like saying all this kind of stuff about me. And I just started, I didn't know what to do or what to think. I was so angry and I was so sad. At the same time, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And it hurt me so much. And when I think about that situation, as I was preparing the sermon, as I was thinking about that situation, I was thinking, if I saw that guy today, it would still feel a little awkward. Because it wasn't ever resolved. He never said sorry to me. And it really hurts. That kind of situation can really hurt. But there are big portions in our passage today that I skipped. And I want to read them for you right now. In verse 9 and 10, right after John says, let's love one another. Let's love one another. It says in verse 9, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And also in verse 14, it says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. What is this talking about? What this is talking about is remember the gospel. If we're ever going to be able to love one another, it's only going to be through Jesus. The only way that we're going to be able to perfect love in our church here, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. And as I think about that campus ministry leader from many years ago, I'm challenged myself to think about the gospel. This conflict turns into an opportunity for me to turn back to the gospel and to think about my sin against my God is actually a greater sin. It's a greater offense than what that campus ministry leader did to me. Because it's God. And no matter what other people have done to you, perhaps you can also think along these lines. My sin that I committed against my God the eternal God, the creator God, that offense is greater than what my brother or sister in Christ did against me. And even though I did this major offense, this great offense against my God still turns back to me and says, I love you. And I will choose to love you. And I will send my son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I will choose to give up all glory in heaven. And I will come down to this earth. I will choose to do this. And I will choose to go to the cross. I will choose to die on the cross because I love you. And as I hear this, and as I'm reminded of this, that no matter what I did to my God, He still chose to love me. And He still chose to love my brother or sister in Christ, no matter how much this person offended me and offended God. God still chose to love this person. And because God loved me, a sinner, I can receive that love and once again love my brother or sister in Christ. I can choose to do that. And when we choose to love one another, Jesus' love is perfected in us. It just like it says in verse 12, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. When we do this, when we love because He first loved us, when we do this, there will be intentionality. And I challenge you guys to make a goal, to do something like try to meet a new person every week. Be intentional. Perhaps because of what Jesus did for us, we can be concerned for each other's well-being. We can point each other to Jesus Christ. Perhaps we can admit to our wrongs because we know that we've been forgiven. We can admit. We can take initiative and get to know other people. And perhaps there's even a willingness to go beyond what we think our limit is. Because for Jesus, He went all the way to the end and laid down His life for us. And this is love, that we lay down our lives. We lay down our lives for one another. So let me read the last verse one last time. And this commandment we have from Him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's perfect love through Jesus. Let's pray together. I want to invite the worship team to come up and just take a moment right now. And I know that it's possible that I might have offended some people through this sermon. And because I wanted to be very, very open and honest about what we might face. And I'm not saying that we all have to agree about coming to in-person services. I'm not saying that we all have to agree about all of our different viewpoints. But what I am saying is that still in the midst of all this, we can choose to love one another. We can choose to care about each other, point each other to Jesus Christ. We can do that. And so whatever God is placing on your heart right now, whether it's a confession, I need you to forgive me because I've been having a wrong attitude about this church, about loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. Or whether it be, Lord, I really want to love others. Show me how to do that. Whatever your prayer is, take some time to pray now. And we'll sing a song. And then after we sing, I'll close this in prayer. So let's pray now.